This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The party continues here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. We're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. We'll take you up to 105. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will take the rock from then on. They'll get you warmed up for the series finale of the Battle of the Beltway. Nats and O's, game number 3. Nats looking to make it a clean sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. Michael Soroka on the bump for DC. It's a 135 first pitch. You can hear all the action right here on The Fan. If you were with us yesterday, the news broke while I was on the airwaves. The Baltimore Orioles parting ways with manager Brandon Hyde. And if we're being real about it, every time I bring this up, anytime O's fans call in, it feels like everyone's on the same page here. They got off to a 15-28 start. It's the fourth worst record in all of Major League Baseball. Heading into yesterday, they had a team ERA of 5.33, the worst in the American League. And when you look big picture at their offseason acquisitions, largely to this point through the first quarter of the season, they have flopped. So it's a tough situation, because if we're, you know, being real about it, like, we're not too far removed, you know, from this O's team being a 100-win ball club, right? Like, that's the tough part about it, you know, for me. And it feels like, you know, as we continue to have more dialogue and discussion about what's going on in Baltimore, ownership comes under question, clearly. But then I look at Mike Elias, man. I look at the decision maker in Baltimore and who's in charge of player personnel as to the issue here, as to why this is happening. Ironic that you get fired after losing to the Nationals, too. Like, it's very interesting to see where these two franchises are right now. I think the Nats, as we continue to say, are in a good spot. I think at least we've seen a lot of good growth and development out of their young pups. Right now, the big Achilles heel for that team has been the bullpen. And we'll see how that group matures as the season grows on. One thing I consistently ask when I'm working with my guy Ben Strober behind the glass, Ben, a big Nats guy, was asking Ben, like, hey, how good does this team need to be at the deadline in July for Mike Rizzo and company to make a move to add to that bullpen? Because I think, and maybe I'm beating a dead horse here, if they had just at least an average bullpen, people, if the bullpen was at least average, maybe, just maybe, instead of being, you know, 7 games under .500 and 7.5 games back of the final wild card spot in the National League, maybe, just maybe, you're in that spot. That's why this week coming up is super interesting. You got 3 against Atlanta at home, 3 against San Francisco at home. Atlanta 4 games back of the final wild card spot in the National League, and San Francisco currently holds that final spot in the National League wildcard race. So big week coming up for the Washington Nationals. We'll see what they got in the tank coming up here this week when they are back at home. I mentioned I want to get into the Washington Wizards here real quick. Really tough week this past week for Washington, man. You entered the NBA draft lottery with the top odds at landing the number one overall pick, tied with both Utah and Charlotte. And for the Wizards, you end up having the worst possible scenario come to fruition. You end up with the number six overall pick coming up in next month's draft. I was initially going scorched earth when it first happened, because it felt like a very wizard-like thing. And I think over the course of the draft lottery, routinely Washington has gotten boned in this thing, man. It feels like their odds or their pick never improves. It always feels like they regress when it comes to the lottery. They always end up getting the worst pick than they were initially supposed to. This year, I think going into it, my mentality was different because I felt like we earned the number one overall pick by stinking so damn bad. But here's the change in the draft lottery system that was made a couple of years ago to kind of, you know, discourage teams from tanking.
When you I hate it.
When you finish with the worst record, you have your 14% chance at the number one pick, but the Wizards had a 20% chance at picking sixth. It was their highest odds to land a pick. So going into it, we should have expected them to get the lower pick, but last year they were in the same scenario. They ended up moving up in the draft lottery. They were supposed to pick fifth last year, but they moved up a couple of spots, and it gave them the opportunity to draft Alex Saar. I think the whole lottery system as a whole is flawed. I think every team in the NBA should have equal odds at landing the number one overall pick. Do it randomly.
No.
The reason I say that, you are completely incentivizing losing. This is sports, damn it. It's about wins and losses. You've had a winner and a loser ever since Little League, since you had to get weight on
the
scale.
You can't say the guys that won the championships should have a shot at the number one pick.
Should they not have the chance to get young, cheap talent because they were better at roster building than the rest of the league?
Yes, because other teams in other markets should be good also. It shouldn't just be a couple teams that are really good, and that's the problem. They don't just punish the teams that are tanking. They punish all bad teams. And so when you're a Wizards fan who's never seen them do anything,
ever,
what
Chris.
Is your hope for them? How do they crawl out of this? They're still going to be bad whether the lottery they won this year or not. Like that's the thing. You're making it so even if you're a bad team that's not tanking, you don't really have a path out of it.
Chris, there's no other – and I hear what you're saying.
And that's the problem. So it's like you just have certain teams that in certain markets are just going to perpetually always be bad, and I guess that's okay because that stinks as a fan of those teams.
It's horrible. I just think – there's no other sports league that directly incentivizes losing. No other sports league does that.
I mean, there's no other this is another flaw of the NBA.
Now
when you get
NFL,
a foul in the NBA late in the game, they can help your team. And I don't understand any sport where a penalty is supposed to benefit you. That makes no sense to me either. But every NBA game that's close, you'll sit there and watch guys foul each other on purpose.
That's just the rules of the game.
I know, but they could run time off the clock and get rid of it, but they don't.
Well, that's...
They don't. They want it. They want it. They want you to get a penalty to be a benefit.
You can't have it all.
Well, I'm just saying, if they're so worried about this draft stuff, why are they not worried about that? It's the same kind of thing. They're incentivizing losing. You're incentivizing a bad thing.
I mean, come on.
It's the same thing.
No chance. Completely different. One is the rules of the game.
Sure.
Which have been the same forever.
But why should they incentivize you? No, they change every year. There's rules that get changed every year. But, like, why should they be incentivizing someone to foul on purpose?
A foul has been a foul, though, for the history.
But a foul is supposed to be a penalty. And if the penalty is benefiting you, it's not a penalty.
How does a foul benefit a team?
Because you're stopping them from taking, like, say, an easy layup, and you're making them go to the line, which they have a higher chance of missing at least one of the shots. So your team can come back and try to drop a three and tie up the game or something. I mean, usually something like that.
That's just a strategy. The clock stops on a foul. That's just
here's the
way
the
game works.
If you're getting a penalty to benefit you, it's not a penalty.
I think you...
That's a problem. And that's why people don't like watching the end of NBA games, because they take 10 minutes to play the final 30 seconds. It's awful.
You sound like... You've worked with Chris Russell far too much. I'm going to be honest with
you. I'm just saying, man.
You are losing
if they had like a runoff, if they had a runoff on fouls at the end of a game, that stuff would end right away.
I cannot believe you have let that caged animal poison your mind.
Not Russell that made me think of this. I watch NBA since I was a kid, man. That's the thing that always kills me.
That's bad.
And it's hard to get friends that don't really watch sports into basketball,
Chris,
when that happens so often.
We started.
Drives me nuts.
This conversation has gone off the rails.
Anyway, same problem I have with the lottery, though. It's like you're incentivizing bad stuff, right?
Leave it at that.
Why should they be incentivizing negative behavior in a game, but not when it comes to tanking or not?
It's not.
They're picking and choosing when you get to do something wrong.
Chris, they don't, though. If you foul someone under the basket on purpose to stop a fast break, the team doesn't get rewarded. The other team gets free throws. It's a clear path foul.
Talking about clear path foul. I understand what that is. It's like on a breakaway or whatever.
Right.
There are plenty of times at the end of a game, as soon as a ball is inbounded, someone's getting fouled.
That's the rule. It's the strategy of the game.
But again,
if the strategy is
to get a penalty, then it's not really a penalty.
The clock stops on every dead ball. How do you create a dead ball? You foul.
But it's not about stopping the clock.
Strategy.
It's about getting the ball back and trying to get them to not score in their possession.
It's 100% about stopping the clock, because if there's no time, you can't score.
But it's also about trying to prevent them from scoring on their possession.
My head's hurting.
That's part of it. That's a big part of it. Because if they even miss one of the free throws, you've got an advantage. They didn't make the two. They made one.
This is horrible. 1-800-636-1067. I am going to strangle Chris in the break. We'll be back.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Just me the rest of the way, since I strangled Metal Chris during the break. He's getting medical He's getting medical attention in the back. It is the Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. Metal Chris behind the glass. Picking up your calls at 1-800-636-1067. You tweeted me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Taking you up to 105, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. We get you warmed up for the series finale of the Battle of the Beltway up at Camden Yards. Nats and O's set to get underway.
First pitch is what we call it in baseball.
Yeah, but the verbs that I used to lead up to that, I couldn't say it that way. First pitch, though, I set for 135. You can hear all the action right here on the Fan. Michael Soroka on the bump for DC here this afternoon. I mentioned it earlier on the last segment. Big opportunity for standings movement for the Washington Nationals coming up here in the next two series at home. They got three against their NL East rival, the Atlanta Braves, coming up starting Tuesday. Then they have a weekend series with the San Francisco Giants. The Giants currently the third and final wild card spot in the National League. They're in the National League wild card spot right now, and that's currently 7.5 games back of that final wild card spot in the NL. So they have some opportunity to have some movement coming up here in the next week. Now, I feel like it's frustrating. I feel like for Major League Baseball, and I'm getting totally off on a tangent here because, Chris, you sparked my mind here on this. You're talking about rules and things of that nature. It got me thinking about the financial imbalance that exists within Major League Baseball. You want to talk about stupid sports rules? I think it's completely stupid that Major League Baseball doesn't have a salary cap, and it's basically...
Technically, they have a soft cap, I think they call it, but yeah.
Is that what they call it? The irony in that, ain't it? It's almost like a free-for-all. It's like a rich people's playpen. That is what Major League Baseball is, and I look at those stankin'-ass Dodgers and how much money that they've spent.
Like the Dodgers and the Yankees every year, right?
It's so stupid. That's why I'm glad that...
That's what the big strike in the 90s was about.
I know.
They're the one league that won.
I'm glad that the Detroit Tigers, a smaller market team that has still spent a considerable amount of money, is playing some of the best baseball in the majors this year. I'm glad a team like Chicago, who is technically a big market team, but I don't know how much money they've spent this year, playing really well. A team like the Padres, playing really well. Our guy, local cat, Tacoma Park's own Jackson Merrill, got a big-time bag from the San Diego Padres before the start of the season. So that's just me going off on a tangent real quick because I thought maybe you would find it just as ridiculous as I find your basketball take, but you don't.
Salary cap is a problem, I think, too, because, again, we're not in a major market like L.A. and
see, I beg to differ.
New York.
I beg to differ when people say that. D.C. is a huge market.
We don't have the population of New York City or Los Angeles. We're not that kind of city.
Oh, my gosh. No way. Ricky Maddie just tweeted at me and said, the NBA doesn't deem late-game fouling unsportsmanlike conduct. Wow. Someone who finally called it out. Late game fouling is idiotic. Is this your burner account?
I wish I had one.
That is insane.
I don't do the KD thing, man. I'm sorry.
The NFL.
I have enough trouble keeping up with just one.
Now someone else tweeted at me. The NFL has a 10-second runoff at the end of the game.
Yep.
Why can't the NBA do that? That's
the NFL doing it is what made me start thinking about it.
It's part of the sport, people.
But you can change the rules when parts of the sport stink.
They got
a pitch clock now in baseball.
It does not stink. It puts an emphasis on end of
it's
game.
It's so bad to watch.
No, you just don't appreciate basketball.
I appreciate basketball. I want to watch people play.
It puts an emphasis on end of game execution. That's it.
I
want to
watch
about.
Them play, though. I don't want to watch them just sit there and foul each other and take free throws for 10 minutes. It's boring.
Come on.
It's like, what if every NFL game just ended up with, like, you know, five field goals in a row? Just watch teams take field goals over and over. That'd be boring as hell to watch, too.
I can't even take this conversation anymore. You guys need to take this to you guys need to go down to Big Stick and have this conversation there. Notice that Big Stick doesn't even exist anymore. So
I know.
So you got the look you just gave me.
I walk by that place all the time. It's right between here and the Metro.
I know. Gosh, you're funny, Chris. The Wizards lost the draft lottery, ended up with the number 6 overall pick. I think there are a lot of good prospects that they could still end up with at that number 6 spot. I know there is some conversation out there on social media about, you know, how interested they'd be in trading up to the number 3 overall pick. Currently owned by the Philadelphia 76ers. A lot of folks expect Ace Bailey to be the number 3 overall pick in this class. I know there is a strong contingent of NBA folks that really like the, you know, star-studded freshman VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor as the third best prospect in this class. Bottom line is this. The argument that folks are now having for the Wizards is that, damn, you wasted this past year and last year tanking for you not to walk away with a franchise-altering talent. I say pump the brakes on that. because you could end up getting that at number 6 or number 18 overall. But the bigger thing that I feel like folks inside of the organization are pushing back on is that, no, last year was not a tank job for the Washington Wizards, including the owner of the Wizards, who had this to say about the organizational plan moving forward for the Wizards and what last year was.
We weren't tanking. We were developing players. That's a little different than maybe what some of the other team strategy was. We can't internally, culturally think we lost because we're picking 6. We have to be great executives, great scouts. And I think our team with our new president of Monumental Basketball and our GM will be fine.
So I think Ted Leonsis actually provides some very interesting perspective on what last year was for the Wizards. Wizards were the youngest team in NBA history last year. They played a trio of rookies has never played more minutes than you saw Alex Saar, Bub Carrington, and Keyshawn George play last year. So if you are Ted, I get where he's coming from. Ted is saying, last year wasn't a tank job. We were developing talent. He's kind of right. I don't think that they intentionally were going out trying to lose. And I think he kind of alluded to that if you picked up what he was putting down when he talked about, you know, the core values of the organization and what the front office, the standards that they're holding themselves to. You cannot foster that sort of environment inside of your building to where young guys, especially a young, impressionable team like this Wizards one, I think in that situation, you know what I'd do? If I was Ted Leonsis, Mike Winger, Will Dawkins, I'm holding a meeting right at the beginning of the season. I'm calling everybody in the office, and I'm saying, look, you're going to have a chance to get some run here if you're a young pup. The best guys are going to play. The guys that play the hardest are going to play. You got to get in where you fit in. But we are not incentivizing losing. I don't care what you read in the press clippings. I don't care what you hear Linnell talk about on Sports Talk Radio. This is not a tank job. This is an opportunity for us to grow and develop and establish a culture inside of the walls of that locker room at Capital One Arena. And I think post-February 1, which is that date I continue to go back with with this group, post-February 1, they were much different as a basketball team. They started to develop an identity and a culture. What was that? Defense, effort, hustle, tenacity. How many times last year did you see young Bub Carrington in the middle of a scrum with a bunch of veterans from another team popping it, talking his you-know-what, right? Being a guy that's vocal, tough, right? Keyshawn George was the same way. Draymond Green, talking about it on his podcast, called out the Washington Wizards in a good way, saying, "That ain't the same Wizards group over there. They got some young guys. They got some dog in them." And that's what you need when you're trying to create that type of culture in a locker room. You got to have we're not taking crap from anybody mentality. I don't care if we're the youngest team in the NBA. I don't care if we're playing host to the defending champion Boston Celtics. We're going to play our ass off. We're going to give you everything we got. That's got to be the mentality and the focus of this group moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, the conversation now shifts to me. What do they do with the number 6 overall pick? Do they stick and pick at 6? Do they try and trade up and get a player of their liking? If they do stick and pick at 6, I want to go through a couple of options that I'd really like to see here in our nation's capital. And one option in particular that right now, on May the 18th, I don't think makes a whole lot of sense. It's next there on The Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Still moving and grooving right along as we take you up to 105 here on this Sunday afternoon, riding around the DMV with yours truly, the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. Take you up to 105, as I mentioned. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will get you warmed up for the series finale of the Battle of the Beltway out at Camden Yards, Nats and O's. Michael Soroka on the bump, a 135 first pitch. And you can hear all the action right here on the fan. Looking at the weather. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Breaking Major League Baseball news, impacting the NL East. This is according to John Heyman, longtime MLB insider. Jose Alvarado of the Phillies receiving a 80-game PED suspension without pay and will be ineligible for the postseason if the Phillies are able to punch their ticket to the National League postseason. Oof. So that is a massive, massive blow.
Couldn't happen to a better team, you know?
Literally. Couldn't happen to a better team. Stunned by that. I feel like, and maybe I'm totally off base with this. It feels like the PED stuff, guys getting popped, happens more in Major League Baseball than it does in any other sport today. Am I wrong? You feel what I'm saying with that?
I wonder how much how consistent the testing is across the different leagues, I guess, is part of it when you see that. Like,
that's true.
You know?
I know the NFL and the NBA, after you have a big game, the athletes always joke, I went off for five catches.
Yeah, some guy breaks a record or something. They're like, and then 2 minutes later, they're like, yeah.
So that's tough. Jose Alvarado, obviously the reliever for the Philadelphia Phillies, going to be done for the rest of the season. So, yikes.
They haven't played 80 games yet.
No.
So he won't be the rest of the season, but he won't be in the postseason. After he comes back, he won't be in the postseason.
Yeah, so for Philadelphia, they have played...
Those are teams around 45-50 or something right now.
Yeah, they've played about 44 games to this point.
Yeah, so they'll still have an 80-game suspension, come back at the end of the season, but then be ineligible for the postseason.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's... That's tough. I don't feel bad about it at all, though.
Man. I'm no fan of cheaters.
No, I am not either. I am a fan of the Washington Wizards. Super excited to see what they have on tap. So a couple of different options right now for the Wizards with that number 6 overall pick. They can stick and pick, and if they stick and pick and things go chalk through the first 5 picks, they should have the opportunity to draft a really talented individual at 6th overall. Here is how I expect things to go at the top of the draft. This was the latest mock draft from Jonathan Givony of ESPN. He's got Cooper Flagg going number 1 overall. Number 2 overall, Dylan Harper going to San Antonio, the freshman guard from Rutgers. Ace Bailey going third overall to the Philadelphia 76ers. VJ Edgecombe, the freshman guard out of Baylor, going fourth overall to Charlotte. Jeremiah Fears, the star-studded freshman from Oklahoma, he has him going five overall, rather, to Utah. This would be the best-case scenario for the Wizards if the draft played out this way. Because, for my money, the third-best player in this draft is tough. It's a three-way tie for me between VJ Edgecombe, Ace Bailey, and Trey Johnson in terms of who's the third-best player in this draft. That's why it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how each of these individual teams ultimately view these guys. Because when you bring in cats for a pre-draft workout and you vet these prospects and do all your homework, you're going to have varying opinions on guys, and it could cause a lot of variance at the top of this draft. I think the draft doesn't start till third overall. I think we use that adage and that phrase all the time in the NFL draft. Like, oh, we know the first five picks, the draft doesn't start till number six overall. You can say that this year about the NBA draft. I think everyone and their mama feels like the number one overall pick is Coop, number two overall pick is Dylan Harper. Then there's a lot of room for debate. Do you prefer Trey Johnson and, you know, his upside? Do you prefer Ace Bailey and his ability to put the ball in the cup? Or do you want to go, you know, a two-way guy in VJ Edgecombe that's got, you know, the legit ability to end up being the best player in this draft? So we're going to see what ultimately happens with this. For the Wizards, if the draft plays out the way that it does in Jonathan Givony's latest mock draft, I agree. That would be the pick that you have to run to the podium. It would be Trey Johnson out of Texas. And let's just be real here. Based on the way Trey Johnson performed in Chicago at the scouting combine, no chance I think he falls to six. I honestly think he ends up, I don't know, there are going to be some teams that prefer Trey Johnson to Ace Bailey. And Trey Johnson, 6'6", 190 pounds, lit it up last year for Texas. Played really well in the NCAA tournament in their game against Xavier when they got bounced. Thought he was awesome in that one. Everything you hear about this young man is he is an A-plus person, as well as an A-plus player. The player comp, and I know this is some people are going to think this is lofty, but I think this is really where he could ultimately get to. The player comp is like Devin Booker to me, right? The pro comp to me is like a Devin Booker. Some of the more modest player comps, Cam Thomas, if you're familiar with the local cat out of Newport News that plays for the Brooklyn Nets. He is just a shot-making savant, man. He comes in here and gives you a guy that you can play through offensively. Here's the thing about the Wizards' current dilemma and why picking six is kind of detrimental to this rebuild. Will Dawkins and company over the first 2 years have drafted defense-first players in Alex Sarr and Bilal Coulibaly, right? You now need what I would consider and best describe as an offensive hub, an offensive playmaker, someone else that you can play through. Because right now on this roster, as currently constructed, the only guy that can consistently create shots for himself and others is Jordan Poole. And what I mean by that is, one, being able to score off the bounce on the ball, right? Two, being able to break your defender down, cause a help defender to come and then kick the basketball. No one else has that. No one else has that but Jordan Poole. So adding Trey Johnson to the mix, I think, helps you out offensively. Some folks are going to say, well, what's Bub Carrington? Bub Carrington, I think, showed an innate feel in the pick and roll last year, right? Was awesome. Mid-range game, was money, butter from the three-point line. But what I need to see from Bub moving forward, and I think Bub would agree with this, you got to get to the cup a little bit more, man. Get to the Baja. Like, Bub Carrington didn't shoot enough free throws last year for my liking. And part of it's because his skill set, and he's an 18-year-old or 19-year-old, so he's a guy that's constantly developing. His skill set right now, I think, doesn't allow for him to get to the cup on a routine basis because he just doesn't have it in his bag, right? Guys are a lot more athletic than they were at Pitt. And it's honestly something that you kind of saw at Pitt as well. He didn't get to the cup a whole lot there either. They need that. right? I think best case scenario for Bub, I think he has the potential to maybe be the point guard of the future if he can add that element to his game that we're talking about, being able to break guys down off the bounce and get to the cup. If he can't develop that, I think he could be one of the best six men in the NBA. And it could be a guy that finishes games for you, depending on what type of lineup you want to ultimately close with. But Trey Johnson at six would be my number one guy out of Texas. Another guy that I see, you know, mocked to Washington a lot at number six as well, is our pal Derek Queen from the University of Maryland. Here's what I continue to say about Derek Queen at the next level. I know what Derek Queen is when he's at his best, right? We've seen him at his best. My question for Derek Queen, right? Big cat, 6'10", guard-like handle, showed an innate ability to finish at the rim and rebound the basketball. What my question is for him, the jump shot is less than to be desired. He's not a good athlete. I think he's kind of a tweener, right? I think he's too heavy-footed to switch out on the wing and defend guys on the perimeter. I think he's too small to defend legit big centers in the NBA. And if the jumper does not get more consistent and round into form offensively, like, where is his fit? How often in the NBA do you see guys make a living off of scoring with their back to the basket? The other thing that folks talk about, the conditioning. The number one thing folks are talking about at the combine with him, the motor defensively, why isn't he better on that end of the floor? Does he want to be a good defender? And not does he love the game, but how seriously does he take it? He's a young pup, man. The kid is, you know, 20 years old, right? Some of the comps you see, Naz Reid, and that's interesting because Naz Reid has a lethal three-point ball, DQ doesn't. Zach Randolph is a comparison, but Zach Randolph in today's NBA, how effective would he actually be? This comp that I see for DQ is interesting, is DeMarcus Cousins. That one interests me because I think DQ is as skilled as anybody in the draft offensively when you consider the size that he's got. But I just worry about him on defense. And I think about everything Will Dawkins and company continue to say is, look, we're trying to build an identity of defense first here in D.C. He doesn't fit that, talking about Derek Queen, because there are questions, the biggest questions surrounding his game exist on that end of the floor. So we'll see ultimately what happens. I would not be in favor right now, at least, of Derek Queen at the number six overall pick. But obviously I can be persuaded my mind can change. I'm still digging in and doing work on some of these prospects, and the measurables from the combine have not got to Derek Queen yet. I spent a lot of time on a guy that I really want to see here in Washington that I think would really help this group moving forward and help you establish an identity if you're able to take him at number six overall. I'll reveal who that player is next. They're on the Fan. +1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL underscore BTP. Talking all things Washington Wizards as we get geared up for the NBA draft coming up next month. Who do you guys want at the number six overall pick? 1-800-636-1067. We just went through why I don't want Derek Queen here in D.C. And look, if I'm being honest, I can be persuaded on that. I really do believe that. I can be persuaded on that because I get it, right? I don't know how much of a lock it is that he reaches his ceiling. I think you can say that with all of these guys coming out in the draft. It's just his flaws that he has right now as a prospect. I really don't think they jive with what, excuse me, the flaws he currently has as a prospect. I don't think it jives with what Washington is trying to create as an identity of this organization. They want to be a defensive team, right? They want the one area where he does fit, defense is first and foremost with this organization right now. The second thing is this. They want guys that have great positional size and skill, right? Like the one thing that was emphasized last year, and if you watch Wizards games, you saw it. Whoever gets the rebound can push the ball up the floor and initiate the offense. Derek Queen does check that box. He's got every ability to do that. I worry about him on the defensive end of the floor. That's really my number one concern with him, is what is he going to be defensively? And I think at this current level, he wasn't able to anchor a college defense, which he didn't do at Maryland. I don't think he's going to be able to anchor a pro-level defense as well. His best tools defensively is like when he's off the ball, you know, as a shot blocker, roaming, coming over and helping. When he's got to play individual one-on-one defense, that's where I worry about him. Here's the other thing that kind of, the couple of games in the Big Ten play that showed me, yeah, DQ's probably not a guy that I think is going to translate particularly well to the pro level. Think about when he had to go up against the bigs from Michigan State and Michigan, right? I didn't think in those games in particular, I didn't think he played great. I thought their size and physicality bothered him at times. On the glass, from a finishing standpoint, that's just the way that I look at it. I'm going to box score watch here for a second, but I know for sure those were the games that I circled going, yeah, like that's who I want to see him go up against, because they're big, they're bigs that have NBA size in skill. Vlad Goldin is going to get drafted. Look, the bunch from Michigan, right? Zapala, the 7-foot Polish senior that they had. Watching DQ go up against those guys. That second matchup against Michigan State that was in College Park, Derek Queen was 2-for-11 from the field, 6-for-9 from the free throw line, 10 points, 10 rebounds. Didn't play particularly well, right? Like, those are the games that I look at and go, that's why I wonder, like, can he get it going? Now, against Florida, the amount of missed layups that he had in that game, I thought was alarming. It's just interesting to me, man. It's just interesting to me, man. I think he's a good college player. I just am not so sure how that game ultimately translates to the next level. The first matchup of the season, or the only matchup, rather, of the season that we saw against Michigan State, I thought the bigs, like I said, bothered him there. I look at the two matchups against Michigan. Now, the second time against Michigan, or both times, rather, against Michigan, I thought he was good. From a rebounding standpoint, though, I felt like in that second matchup, there's no way you're playing, you're a big man, and you're only able to grab 3 boards in 37 minutes. Now, I know what folks are going to say. Linnell, you want Kamal Malawach from Duke? He has rebounding issues, and he's 7'2". I get it. But all in all, like, I think DQ has a chance to be a good pro. I just don't know how I would like his fit here playing next to Alex Sarr. Now, maybe one could argue, like, yeah, he's built to play next to Alex Sarr because Alex Sarr is a better defender and a defense-first guy. Maybe he would mask some of DQ's deficiencies on that end of the floor. I just don't see it playing out that way. We'll ultimately see, you know, what happens with Derek Queen and how good of a pro he is. But I just don't know how sold I am on him being the guy at the NBA level. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Going through a couple of different scenarios for the Washington Wizards coming up in next month's draft. The one thing that I continue to think about when it comes to the draft, we spent a lot of focus on that number 6 pick. What could they possibly do at that number 18 overall pick? I think there's a combination of guys. If they stick and pick at both 6 and 18, I think it doesn't really matter the order that you do it. I think you need to walk away with somebody that helps you in the front court and somebody that can be a ball handler and initiate offense for you as well. Like, that's what they got to leave the draft with. And I'll be real, right? I think they have the ability to do it. The one other thing that I want to continue to talk about, and we'll get into it top of the 12 o'clock hour, we've talked about the possibilities of them at number 6 overall, right? Obviously, Trey Johnson in the mix. Derek Queen all of a sudden in the mix. Kamal Malawach in the mix. Trey Johnson in the mix. What happens if they take matters into their own hands? coming up next month in the NBA draft. The Philadelphia 76ers have the number 3 overall pick. Should the Wizards put together a package to go up, to move up to number 3 overall? We'll touch on that next. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.